ever. We've had a preacher from Kalgoorlie in Western Australia at our church. And when I was over there a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of staying at Eddie and Shirley's place. They looked after me. And they've also got a friend, Danny Waters, from Vision Radio here today, and his wife, Stephanie. Danny's one of the guys who's probably travelled more around Australia than anyone on the planet. He's one of the guys that fixes all the... he sets up the stations and fixes them when they're busted. So he's a very great bloke, and he's a great photographer as well. So it's wonderful to have Danny and his wife here as well. So when I preached in Kalgoorlie a few weeks ago, we saw over 150 people come to Christ. And over the weekend, Eddie hosted me, and I just thought this is one of the most Aussie, heartfelt, anointed men of God that you'll ever come across. Every morning I'd get up, and he'd make porridge for me with some grapes from his own vineyard. And on the last day I was there, he said, "That's the last of the grapes. It's time for you to go now." He's got a great sense of humour. But every morning he'd be doing his devotions. He'd have two versions of the Bible. He'd have his Smith Wigglesworth devotional and his Charles Spurgeon devotional. And he'd go through this, and he'd write down his journaling. And I could just see his Bible is worn apart. How many of you know the Bible that's falling apart is usually read by someone who isn't? He's a man of the Word of God. He's been a pastor for 30 years in the ACC church there. They've planted another church in Kambalda as well. He's a great man of God. Please stand to your feet and welcome Pastor Eddie from Kalgoorlie. Woohoo!
Hey, Matt. We're on? Yes. Thank you, Matt, for having us. Oh, God, it's good to be in your house, God. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that's ours in Christ Jesus. God, that you allow us to take part in the commission, the great commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, as I bring the word today, I pray by the mercies of your grace, you'll soften every heart here today, make us malleable and pliable, and even as children, ready to receive the things that you want to impart to us today through your word by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the most perplexing or puzzling things that Christians experience is how to listen to the voice of God. Because listening to the voice of God is just a mystery to many, many Christians even. Because there's three things that are vying for our attention. Three competitive voices, if you will, that are competing for our attention. There's the voice of God who wants to speak into our lives. There's the voice of our soul, our reasoning faculties, that often gets in the way. And, of course, there's Satan. And so we have to come to the position where we can put aside the natural man and listen to the voice of our spirit. Because when we became born again, we received an incorruptible seed. The seed of God is incorruptible. How many of you know that? You know, the seed that you were born with is corruptible. And therefore, a corruptible seed dies. But the Lord tells us, though a man shall die, yet shall he live. And that's because of the incorruptible seed that's planted within us when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So in John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Yes, in Genesis 1:28, God says to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply." God spoke to Noah even. In Genesis 6, 13, and he said, "The end of all flesh has come before me." In other words, God was sick and tired of the way that the people had degenerated, and he was going to destroy all the flesh, as you know. But he spoke to Noah and called him to build an ark, he says in Genesis 6:14. And so that was Noah's experience. And then we come down in Genesis to Genesis 12:1, where the Lord speaks to Abram. Now, Abram had come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he is a Chaldean, spelt with a C-H, and just like chemist. And so it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" And that was a bit like Shirley, my wife, here, and I this morning. And I forgot to introduce my wife, Shirley, and I have three children, grown children, back in the West. But, you know, we went out like Abram, this morning, not particularly knowing where we were going, because we're country bumpkins from Kalgoorlie, 600 kilometres inland from Perth. And so we're just very simple folk, and we found the rail network and everything confusing. And anyway, my wife got talking to a Korean lady, and, you know, she said, "You know, what are you doing?" And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And then my wife said, "My husband's going to preach at a church this morning." "Oh, you Christians." And she said, "What are you going to preach about?" I said, "Hearing God's voice." She said, "I need to know how to hear God's voice." And so I told her for most of the trip of how to hear God's voice. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's a divine appointment, I call that. Yes. So in Exodus 3:2, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire in the midst of a burning bush. And so it was an angel, actually, that spoke out of the burning bush to Moses. I always thought it was just the burning bush, but it was an angel that spoke out of the burning bush. And I saw the film, The Ten Commandments, when, you know, we saw the burning bush and you heard God speak like he was in an echo chamber in a big booming voice, "Moses, Moses." Well, I thought God was going to say to me, "Eddie, Eddie," you know. And so we've all got the Hollywood perception of God sometimes, but we need to have a biblical impression of God. Otherwise, we'll fall into error. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Do not draw near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And we know that account. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 7, it says that God had sent a prophet to the people of Israel. Now, God often speaks through prophets, and he sent a prophet to the people of Israel because, again, they had rebelled, and God had raised up the Midianites to even attack them and persecute them, and the people were hiding in caves and everything because even they couldn't get to their crops to work on their crops because the Midianites were destroying their crops, and the children of Israel were hiding in the caves. And so God sent a prophet, and he spoke that he was going to deliver them, you know, from their enemies, because he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and he reminded them that they had departed from serving the living God and they were serving other gods. And so in Judges 6:11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under a terebinth tree, an oak tree. And he sits down, this angel of the Lord, saying to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And you know, Gideon was hiding down in the wine press, which was designed to crush grapes. But, you know, instead of being out there with his winnowing fork in his hand, threshing the wheat and throwing it up and let the wind separate the wheat from the chaff, he was down, crouched down, hiding from the Midianites, and he was hardly a hero. In fact, he was a zero. And, you know, he was a typical guy who had been persecuted by people of a Philistine nature who were marauding and attacking them constantly. And so he had a good reason to be afraid. And so the Lord, you know, emboldens him through that. And now first in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 4, Samuel, he's a boy, he's serving before Eli the prophet. And, you know, God calls to him, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thinks it's Eli the prophet calling him. So he goes and says, you call me. And three times he did this, and the prophet sent him away three times. But he said on the fourth time, go back, and if God speaks again, and you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And you know, I don't know about you and I, but we're saying, listen, God, your servant is speaking. We've got it back to front. We think God should be listening to us, but we need to learn to listen to God. And that's what Samuel did, and God raised him up to be a great prophet. And so there's another example of God speaking. And in fact, in the psalm, the writer complains to God, how long, O Lord, will you remain silent to me? You could just hear some guy complaining, you know? Because the psalm writers are conversational. They talk to God, they listen to God, they receive from God, and they give out to God their feelings of their heart and the way they've been thinking. Now in Genesis 37, going back again, Joseph begins to dream spiritual dreams, and God speaks to him about his future and what his future was going to look like. And he tells his brothers, unfortunately, you know, that one day they're going to bow down to him. And of course, he didn't have the maturity, a level of maturity that knows when to keep quiet. Anyway, his brothers resented him. In fact, they called him a dreamer. And that's the one of the ways, in fact, we listen to God is through dreams and visions. And God speaks to us in many ways. And he spoke to Joseph in a dream. And, of course, you know that Joseph went on to be second in charge to Pharaoh. And simply because he was made himself available to God and he was in a position to hear from God and seek direction. And he was able to be lifted up from his lowly position of being in a dungeon and delivered and becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. And so there's just another example of how the Bible is speaking to us about how we go about speaking to God. Now, coming over to Matthew, there's another Joseph mentioned in Matthew. This is not the same Joseph that was way back before in Pharaoh's time. But in Matthew 1:20 says this, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Not your proposed wife, your wife. Because he was betrothed, it was considered by God, as far as God was concerned, Mary was Joseph's wife, even before the actual ceremony took place. And so that's interesting, isn't it? And he says, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And in Matthew 2:12, the wise men similarly get a visitation from an angel, because Herod's going to kill all the firstborn, because he's jealous that a king has been born in Israel, and he sees he's being usurped in his position as king. And so he inquires of the wise men where this child is to be born, only so he could get rid of him. And so the angel, it says, you know, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their country another way. Well, that saved their bacon. They got away from Herod by listening to the angel of the Lord. And so, back in the Old Testament days, God often spoke through the angel of the Lord. So, it's not much sense for you and I to be waiting for angels to come and speak to us. So, don't get into that sort of frame of mind, because you're in a new covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been given the Holy Spirit. So now it's the Holy Spirit that's going to talk to you. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. You know, you've got the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work right in your life. Now in John 5:19, Jesus says, you know, what I see the Father do, the Son also does. And so Jesus actually saw the miracles he was performing happening in the Spirit. He saw his Father doing those same things, laying hands on the sick, you know, and saying to the deaf man, thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of the man, come out. That's speaking to the mountain. And so sometimes when we're speaking to people that have an affliction, we have to speak to the mountain, speak to the demonic force that's binding the people. And so Jesus sees his Father doing these things, and he said, and I only speak the words I hear my Father speak. And so Jesus has already heard the words of the Father. And when he encounters a ministry opportunity, he ministers to the people because he has already seen the Father doing those things and heard the Father speaking those things. And so that's why he says, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. So you will say, well, Pastor Eddie, that's okay for you, but you haven't said how you got to come to this position where you actually heard the voice of God. Well, I'll just give a little testimonial, as brief as I can on that, but we had a speaker who I consider was an apostle, and he planted a church in Pune. And that grew to hundreds and hundreds of house churches. And in Bombay alone, there were 10,000 house churches. Not 10,000 people in church, 10,000 house churches. And so I had the privilege of going to this man, with this man, carrying his bags, I thought I was, and he was having me song lead in India. And that's to my horror when I got there. And anyway, it was all, you know, suck it and see, you know. So I was just flying by the seat of my pants, believe me, and trusting in God, as you have to in India, even when you're on the road. But anyway, this man came to Calgary, and he was teaching in a Bible school that we used to run through the Church of Christ at the time, which was a charismatic Church of Christ heading towards Pentecost. And Pastor Trevor taught on a Calvary fast. Well, as Jesus was 3 days in the tomb, you know, and so without food or water, you can guess a Calvary fast is without food or water. So a long weekend was coming up, so I thought, I can do that. And I pondered it in my heart, and I made an announcement that I'm going to the bush over the long weekend, and I won't be there Sunday. And one of the other elders said to me, you're going on a Calvary fast, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And another elder, he also asked me. And Pastor Trevor Patterson said to me at that, said to us at that time, if you're going on a prolonged fast, you should know, let leadership know. Particularly if you have a medical condition. You know, don't go racing off into a prolonged fast if you're diabetic or something. You need to talk to your doctor. It's just common sense. So I planned, and we went out to a place that I remember we'd been to when I was 12 years old. We went out there on a cross-country run with the primary school, and we were jumping off these chalk cliffs that were about 3 metres high. And I remember these chalk cliffs just out of Kalgoorlie between the smelter and Kalgoorlie, and somewhat off the road, the main road. And so I went in there, and Shirley drove me in there, and I stayed there overnight. And I had a plan to plant bottles of water in the bush, just in case I died of thirst. And I thought, that's not faith. That's a plan B. So anyway, reluctantly, I left my water behind and I went in, and I was in this bit of a cave, I can only describe it as. It was just a bit of an indentation in the chalk rock, and it was all chalk around the front of it, like limestone, small pebbles. And I went in there, and the purpose of my fast, in accordance with the pastor's teaching, was, you know, you need to do it for reason. Don't just do fast for no reason. That's just legalism. You must have a purpose in mind, a spiritual purpose. So my spiritual purpose was to hear the voice of God. I'd never heard the voice of God. I'd built a prayer room especially, and a counseling room next to it, and I thought, I've never heard the voice of God. I can't actually say I've heard the voice of God. So I was there, and I didn't even know where to look in the scriptures. And I opened the Bible, which, you know, just blindly, and I went, oh. And there it was, you know. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend that as a way to find out things. You know, we should have a predetermined path of study. So anyway, and I came to 1 Kings 19, verse 9, it says, now this is speaking about Elijah. He had just killed 450 prophets of Baal, and Jezebel swore vengeance on him, that, you know, swore by her gods that by evening, if the same thing didn't happen to Elijah, then let it happen to her. And so Elijah flees from this woman, this Jezebel, after he had been so authoritative in beheading 450 prophets of Baal. Unbelievable, isn't it? That he fled, you know. And anyway, there he is after he'd fled it, and it says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I went, whoa, Lord, that is fantastic. And anyway, up to then, I'd been waiting for the Lord to speak to me. And there I was out there. And, you know, suddenly, in the night time, I'd spent the afternoon, it was 34 degrees that day. I took notice of the temperature, 34 degrees, which is quite hot. And I started to sing a song of praise to the Lord, and I started to croak and yodel. And I thought, I can't even sing a song. I'm really thirsty. And so I remembered what my brothers had said. When you're thirsty, when we were out the bush, we used to get a bit of ironstone, and we used to suck the ironstone and roll it around in our mouth like a cement mixer, and rattle, 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 and we would hear that sound in our head, but it would break up the saliva and keep the saliva running so that you didn't actually dry up in the mouth. And so here I am waiting in the night time, and I hear, and I thought, oh my goodness, God's walking towards me. I'm done. And I'm repenting of all my sins. It was a kangaroo marking out his territory. I was in his cave. So I was only talking to a bloke called Tony Reed later about it, and I called him Tony Reed, the kangaroo king of Kalgoorlie. And he told me that's a kangaroo, and they thumped their tail on the ground. And, of course, it was echoing on the chalk rocks that were there, the pebbles. But from that experience, I learnt about the still, small voice of God. And from then on, I learnt to be able to listen to God, and I began to journal. And it's no good just listening to the voice of God. You need to journal. Get yourself a daily journal and record the things that God says to you in order to do a checklist virtually, and I'm speaking to myself here, of what God has said to you and how you have obeyed or haven't obeyed. And so that's imperative that if you're going to do the will of God, you've got to record it. Because isn't that what happened in Habakkuk chapter 2? And let's just go there if you're able and you have your Bibles with you, whether you've got them on your phone or wherever you got them. And, you know, in Habakkuk, it speaks about Habakkuk's position. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so, he had to position himself. He had to still himself. You know, that's why it says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That is me, you know, sitting myself down and experiencing God, getting a knowledge of God and knowing what God wants for me to do. And that's just so important. And when you begin to recognize the voice of God, if somebody tries to imitate my wife on the telephone, which her sister used to do now and again, I just catch her out. I'd say, Elsie, that's not Shirley. Sorry, but I recognize my voice, the voice of my wife, the intonation in her voice, the very tones of it. And being a musician, in particular, I recognize sounds. You know, and so here he is, Habakkuk. He trusted, he tuned into the Spirit of the Lord. So he tunes into the Spirit of the Lord, what the Spirit is saying to him. Then he stills himself before the Lord. Then he used vision. And then he wrote the vision according to God's instructions. Now, sometimes it's a single vision we might get, or sometimes it's a composite vision. I remember when one pastor years ago was teaching on vision, and he said, I want you to tune to the Lord and speak up, put your hand up when God has spoken to you. And I thought it mustn't be God, because I got it, you know. And I said, there's a man here who is desirous of a pair of grey socks. Well, everybody burst out laughing, and I felt the biggest drongo on earth. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, this guy said to me, Eddie, I'm sorry I never owned up, he said, but I was coming to church that night, and someone pinched my socks off the line, and I had no socks on, and he said, and I was so embarrassed sitting there with no socks on. And he said, I didn't want to own up. And I said, yeah, well, thanks for the egg on my face. So, you know, and then another time, the same guy was teaching on composite vision. And he said, you know, I think people are going to get a picture painted from a vision. And somebody said, I see green grass. Somebody else said, I see a tent. And somebody else said, I see a track running down to the seaside. I said, that's me. I said, we're going on holidays and we're tenting and we're going to Kalbarri. Anyway, up we went. Oh, we were going to Kalbarri and we're packing the car. And my wife wanted to take this table and chairs, a camping table and chairs. And it wouldn't, and the boot wouldn't go down on the fair lane. It just wouldn't close. No matter how I rearranged the packing, the boot wouldn't close. And Shirley said, she was talking through her teeth, I am not eating off the ground. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm frightened of no man and only one woman. Because we all like our peace, don't we, men? And, you know, and we value our peace, so when we upset our wives, you know, it behoves us to, you know, just toe the line a bit. So I said, darling, we can't take it. So up we went to Kalbarri, and we were going through all this outback country, and we got there, and I hadn't made a booking or anything. Then we were going around seeing no vacancies, no vacancies, no vacancies, no vacancies. But I knew that the Lord had given me this picture. Anyway, Shirley said, Eddie, this vision of yours better not be presumption. So we get to Kalbarri, and I said, no, this is the Lord. So we're going from one caravan park to the other. No vacancies, no vacancies, no vacancies, no vacancies. And I'm starting to get rather tentative about the whole thing, really. And then I saw a bloke in the street that I knew, and I pulled up, and I said, oh, Vaughan, how are you going? And Vaughan leans on the into the window and said, Eddie, where are you staying? And I said, Not sure yet. He said, Eddie, I booked 9 months ago, and when I did the booking, they said, you might get in. And Vaughan had these very expressive eyes, which told the story. And anyway, I went to the last caravan park in town, and there it was, no vacancies. So the kids are crankiest little beasts they were. They were screaming and fighting and yelling and saying, we're hungry, we want to go to bed, we're hungry, la 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 la. And anyway, Shirley was saying, Eddie, this better not be presumption, this better be God. And I go, oh. So I go into the guy and I said, hey mate, you got any vacancies in your motel? And he said, no. Didn't you see the sign? I said, yeah, I saw the sign. I said, you must have some vacancies here in the caravan park. What don't you understand about no vacancies? I said, yeah, I understand the words, but you've got one place for me. He said, look, we have no places. Here we are, the booking. And he's turning through. Oh, there's one here. Oh, they just checked out. Oh, you'll like this. I said, oh, I'll like it, mate. So he's walking with me. And he says, and have a guess what? It's one of the few parking bays in the caravan park that's got a table and chairs. And then I bought this new tent and I didn't have a clue how to set it up. And this guy said, as soon as I opened the boot, you know, and started putting up the tent, hey, mate, can I give you a hand putting up the tent? I love putting up tents. So it was just a wonderful time, a wonderful holiday experience, but it taught me, you know, to listen to God, watch for the composite visions that people get in a collective meeting, and listen to God and follow your heart and have faith to follow through with your convictions. Believe God. You know, and I'm saying not in presumption, but when you get a clear-cut picture, you know that you know that you know. And because I wasn't going to go back out to those kids that were squawking and crying and everything, and my wife, and I wasn't going to go back out. And I thought, well, I ain't going back out there, Lord. You better pluck one out of the air. So, but, you know, sufficient to say that God gives you visions. I was at a conference and there was 1,900 people in the auditorium. And God said to me, look at the anger on that young man up there. And my eye honed right in like a telescopic photographic lens on this guy, and I could see anger all over this young man. And then went to the afternoon session, and then God said, look at the anger. There's that young man again. Look at the anger on him. And he was sitting somewhere else. And then the next day, there's that young man again. Look at the anger on his face. And I thought, God, what are you doing? What are you telling me this for? Anyway, next day, there he is, and he's got this American team who is out ministering, and he's got the scriptures out, and he's gone, belting the Bible, you know, with his finger, and pointing to them and pointing on the Bible, and he's so angry. Anyway, the Lord says, there's that young man again. Go and speak to him right now. So I went, okay, and speak to him about his anger. I thought, oh, Lord, yeah, if I get it wrong, he's going to be angry anyway. So I said, I just opened my mouth. You know, the Lord said, open your mouth and I will fill it. So I opened my mouth and I said, young man, do you realize that you've got a shocking spirit of anger over your life? He said, yeah, actually I do. And so I said, well, you need to get this team to minister to you. because I believe they're better. They're going to be better at that than I am, and there's a whole team of them. And so, you know, the guy got ministered to, and about 12 months later, he came to board with me. Isn't that amazing? He came to live in our house, a different man. And so it just pays you to listen to the voice of God. And just one more example. I was driving my pickup truck when I was working for the hospital, and the Lord said, I want you to go and visit Stella. Stella was an elderly lady, about 74 at the time, and she was living in the same house as another man who was 76. And I'd been in a dance band, you know, the old ballroom orchestras, and I used to lead one of those and play the guitar and MC. Anyway, I'm there, and I said to this lady, I feel that I should come to see you. And I took her through the sinner's prayer. And she accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then the guy that lived at her house, he didn't want to go through the sinner's prayer. And so he said, I want you to pray for my smoking. He said, I've been smoking for 62 years, since I was 12, I think he said. And so I came against the spirit of nicotine, cast out the spirit of nicotine in his life, and this guy had a groove in his lip from holding the cigarette. That's how much he used to smoke. And he was completely delivered from his smoking. Anyway, the next week I went back there, and he said, I want you to pray a prayer for me. I said, what, Bob, about your smoking? And he said, no, that's gone. Haven't had a cigarette since. He said, I want that thing you prayed. Well, I said, what thing, Bob? You know, that thing that you prayed for her. I said, oh, you mean the prayer of salvation, the sinner's prayer. He said, yeah, that's the one. So I took him through the sinner's prayer. And then, so she writes to her brother who is in Queensland, and he's 91. And he comes over to their house, and I get talking to him, and I take him through the sinner's prayer. And the tears are rolling down his face, this old Anglo-Indian guy. And he said, why have we never heard this message before? And he gave his heart to the Lord. He died 9 months later. But isn't God gracious? But moreover, you know, the importance of listening to God is so important. I was at the conference I'd just been to, the national conference of the AOG. I'm there, and the man's lacking joy there. He's standing there just in front of me. So I go out in the foyer, and I said, Lord, that man, he's got no joy in his life. So I go out in the foyer, and I said to this guy, sir, I'd like to pray for you. So I prayed for him, and I came against the spirit of death that was over his life. He was a Papua New Guinean guy, and I'm praying, and I rebuked the spirit of death. I bound it in the name of Jesus and loosed him in the name of Jesus from and explained to him that, you know, Jesus became the curse for us. You know, and I said, does that resonate with you? And he said, what do you mean? I said, does that make sense to you? He said, yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. So another guy was just along from me, a couple of rows, and he introduced himself. He sounded Germanic, a German guy, I would say, or Scandinavian. And I said, sir, you need to know that God's going to restore that relationship. And he said, his eyes rolled. And I thought, he was rolling his eyes to think, you know, this guy's crazy. He said, sir, I receive that. And that's a great relief, because, you know, when God speaks to you, sometimes it requires faith on your part. And some, you know, John Wimber once said when he came to Australia, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. It's a risk, in other words. And you've got to take a risk. And you know what? Jesus allowed the disciples to make mistakes. You know, even though he did tell them off a bit about it and say, oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, nonetheless. And so one of the things I want to conclude with is the fact that, you know, right down, even in Revelation, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church has got to be listening. We are the church. If you're in church, you're the church. Yeah. And he says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's talking to the church. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I wonder if there's somebody here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you thought of, only somebody would tell me how I can know Jesus. If somebody would just tell me in plain English how I can know Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus has just told you, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You've got a heart with a door, and you've got the handle on your side. Only you can open that door and let Jesus come in. If you've never let Jesus come into your heart and invited him in, today is your opportunity. Now, let's close our eyes. And if that's you that God is talking to today, just raise your hand. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I want to give you the invitation. Just pray this prayer with me. Lord God, you said that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And the wages of sin is death, or separation from you. But the free gift of you, God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe that Jesus came to earth and died upon the cross for my sins. Lord, I thank you that I am forgiven and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, you said if we receive you, we would give given the right to become sons of God. Lord, I'm a son of God today, and you have touched me, and I'm yours, Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen. Why don't the band just come up and the worship team, and we'll just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You're going to understand what the song's all about now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You've got spiritual eyes in your heart that you need to open. Let's sing it together.
Just while the team's getting ready, let's give a big hand of encouragement for Pastor Eddie today. Let's stand to our feet. And I really just want to challenge you today. In just a moment, we are going to collect a love offering for Pastor Eddie to bless him. He and his wife have been over at the conference here at the Gold Coast and taken a few extra days to come and minister to us. And these guys do a great work among the community in Kalgoorlie, and I really believe that we need to sow into a word that's been brought today. So let's pray as we collect this love offering. Father, we just want to thank you for Pastor Eddie and Shirley. Thank you for their faithfulness in ministry over all these years. And thank you, Lord, for this word today about listening to your voice. May we tune into you, Lord God, and hear your voice. Lord, as we collect this love offering, we pray you'll multiply it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you as you give. And just as we close now with this song, I'm just going to ask you to come out the front if you want some prayer. Maybe today you heard Eddie talking about how he prayed for someone to get set free from cigarettes, nicotine addiction. Maybe you want to get set free from that. Maybe you've got anger in your heart and you need to be set free from that. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you'd like to pray that prayer and give your heart to Jesus today. Or there was one person who put their hand up. If you put your hand up today, come out the front. We'd love to give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus. So we're going to open the altar right now and ask you to come out and we're going to pray for... Who believes that's going to see miracles today in people's lives? Amen? Come out the front if you want some healing, if you want a breakthrough, if you want Pastor Eddie to pray with you. Come out the front now and let's worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.